My name is Jenna Fayyad. I'm a proud Palestinian woman from Arrabe, Ada Jenin, a village in the south of Jenin. I stand in front of you today as a broken woman, but I'm not ashamed of that. I'm broken that we have passed 140 days of the Gazan genocide and nothing has changed. I am broken that we are approaching almost 5 months of bloodshed, of slaughter of 30,000 Palestinians. And the governments around the world sit silently as my people are carpet bombed by the terrorist state of Israel. I am broken about the fact that I stood on this stage 2 weeks ago, warning you all that a catastrophe is about to take place in Rafah. And just this morning, we hear of Israeli jets targeting Rafah with reports of lifeless bodies scattered in the streets of Rafah. I'm broken that baby Maryam, a baby that was seeking refuge in Rafah with her family, she survived an airstrike that killed her entire family. And she was being treated at a hospital. And the video shows her looking around, terrified and alone. And the video right after shows her, the video right after showed her being cleaned and wrapped because she had died from hunger. This is the status quo in Gaza. If you don't die from an airstrike, you die from hunger. My baby nephew is around her age. And every time I hug him, I feel the pain of every Palestinian baby that has been robbed of basic human rights. And they ask us, why do we keep protesting? Why are we wasting police resources? Why are we enraged? Why have we lost all trust in our supposed leaders who are at the click of a button have cut off UNRWA funding to 2.1 million Palestinians facing a genocide? Penny Wong, the war criminal, she must only be named as a war criminal from this day forward, has now backtracked. She initially made the decision to cut off UNRWA funding to Gaza, to Palestine, to Gaza. And now she backtracked and she admits that she did not have the full evidence when she made that decision. Our next speaker is a Palestinian that has suffered over the last 4 months and has lost over the last 4.5 months more than an average person would lose in their entire lifetime. But he is still here. He attends every protest, he attends every vigil, he attends every demonstration because he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for his family and for the people of Gaza. Please welcome Mohammed Kamel Zahra.
Cease fire now, cease fire now, cease fire now, cease fire now. I'm not gonna ask you what do you want, I'm gonna ask you what do you demand, so let me hear you loud and clear. What do you demand?
Ceasefire.
What do you demand?
Ceasefire.
When do you demand it?
Now.
When do you demand it?
Now.
My name is Mohammed Kamel Salim Salam Salim Salami Durgham Zahrab. I'm from a small city, you might have heard of it, known for its valiant resistance, it's called Khan Yunis. I'm from a small besieged enclave, but dignified Gaza. I'm from a country called Palestine that has been occupied but never conquered. I cannot be more proud of my beloved Palestine, of my beloved Gaza. I stand before you here as someone who's lost 70 members of the Zahrab family since the start of the genocide and many others before. May you never know the agony of not reaching your parents during a genocide. May you never know the pain of confirming that 7 members of your family have been massacred through Al Jazeera News Network. 7 of them were massacred last week in northern Rafah. Peace be with them. Peace be with their souls. They're with the Lord. They're provided by the Lord, the most merciful than anyone here in this cruel world. I will never forget them as long as I draw breath. You know what they call people like me, people like us? They call us emotional. They call us angry. You're damn right I'm angry. You're damn right I'm emotional. I'm livid. I'm enraged. Since October 7th, I've been trying to reach a logical conclusion. How are they enraged and surprised by our basic humane reaction to the insurmountable amount of grief by genocide? And I reached one conclusion. They said it at the very beginning. They see us as subhumans. They see us as human animals. Just like the European settlers did to the African natives in Africa, they used fake science to draw their skulls as different from a normal human being so they can fulfill their colonial dreams. Last week, 127 scholars of genocide, human rights law, from Australia, from so-called Australia, have raised an urgent letter to the government. Act now, because so-called Australia is dangerously close to being legally complicit in the genocide following the ICJ ruling. And the response from the so-called government is exactly what you expect. It's crickets during nightfall. How dare the Albanese government stay silent on this genocide? How dare the current government that doesn't even say the word genocide? How dare they utter the words of humanity or humanitarian aid? How dare you, Penny Wong, say that the situation is too far to judge? How dare you, Penny Wong, not even comment on the UN rights reports that says there has been the acts of sexual violence in Gaza against our women? How dare you claim only to listen to the evidence from the colonizer? How dare you stand there and say the word humanity? How dare you hide that there are $10 million in the last 5 years, according to DFAT official numbers, of weapons exports to the terrorist state of Israel? How dare you hide that? But I will respond with a direct quote, 3-word quote, from one of my favorite senators on this country, and they're not from the governing party. Gutless, powerless cowards. But we will respond by continuing these rallies, by continuing these sit-ins, these memorials, these vigils, and we will respond with the only language that they understand. We will respond with our votes. They have no place in our places of worship. They have no place in our mosque during the holy month of Ramadan in less than a month. Spare me your blood-stained piety. As I've shared with you before, communication with my family is very bad. It takes almost a couple of days just to have a single exchange of messages. Calls is a luxury that we don't have, but when I do reach my family, the conversation goes something like this. كيفك يا خال؟ كيفك يا عم؟ ليش ما تجوزتش لهلا؟ How are you? How are you doing? How's work? Why didn't you get married yet? And I stand here questioning so many things. How are you, my family, the Palestinians in Gaza? How are you able to think of others during your own genocide? What steadfastness do you own? What courage do you possess? What resilience are you teaching us and the entire world? How are you teaching us life during your own genocide? My brothers and sisters, while we mourn our dead, like we said many times before, we have to fight like hell for the living. We must fight like hell for all 2.3 million survivors in Gaza, people in the West Bank, people in southern Lebanon. A few weeks ago, a little angel, 6 years old, Hind, was killed. Last week, Amal Dur, an angel from southern Lebanon, was killed. She succumbed to her wounds from an Israeli airstrike. We must fight like hell for the living while we mourn the martyrs. We cannot lose this momentum. Lastly, Palestinians were very literal, straightforward people. One of our most famous dishes is literally called upside down because you put something in a pot and turn it upside down for serving. Our second most famous dish is called heated because you put something in the oven and literally heat it. So when a Palestinian tells you that we will not bow down to tyranny, that we have stood 75 years against this colonization, the last European settler colonial state, the last project, better believe that word from a Palestinian at face value, that we will not bow down to this, regardless of the discrepancy of power. Before I go, let our voices rise as one. Let our voices ring true. What do you demand? What do you demand? When do you demand it? When do you demand it? From the river to the sea.